Well, we are continuing on our sermon series, which is called The Vision. And so what I'm doing is rehashing what we started off with about 6 years ago with what the vision is for St. John. And so in the meantime, while I go through this recap, which is a very short recap, I'm going to ask for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, and I'm also going to ask for you to turn to the book of Colossians. Proverbs and Colossians. If you don't know where Proverbs or Colossians are, Proverbs is in the Old Testament. It is in the middle, kind of in the Old Testament. If you see Job, we talked about Job last week, Psalms, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, you're in that area. Colossians is in the New Testament. So after, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you'll see Colossians. So that's where we are. And we will be, so I just want you to keep your fingers there. And in the meantime, while everything loads for me, the first week we talked about glorifying God. Glorify God. And the question that we had was, why is it our purpose to glorify God among the people? And we spent a while coming to the conclusion that so that the people may glorify God, which is actually the mission statement of the church, to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. And so I challenged us to glorify God in this game of life. And I tried to use that metaphor of a game to remind us that we win on the field, not in the locker room. But the locker room, the church, the locker room is so much more fun when we win. And so today, I would like to continue with the vision. And we're going to go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the first chapter and the 7th verse. I hope that you have it by now. If not, I will try to have the words on these screens here. Book of Proverbs, first chapter, the 7th verse. And then again, have that book of Colossians open because we're going to turn there. If you still can't find Proverbs or Colossians, just look in the table of contents. Proverbs is in the middle. Colossians is kind of creeping toward the middle. Book of Proverbs, first chapter, 7th verse. We're going to be coming from actually almost all of Proverbs 1. But in the interest of time, I'm just going to read verse 7. And I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text, and it reads as follows. It says, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." And the title for today is the first part of our vision, which is growth. Growth. You may be seated. Last, or the first Sunday, we talked about the mission of St. John. The mission of St. John is the purpose. The mission is a purpose of why an organization exists. When you have a mission statement, it explains why that organization is here. And so the first Sunday, what we covered was the mission statement of St. John. Why are we here? And we are here to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. That is why St. John exists. If we don't do that, there is no reason for us to be here. But that is why it exists. And I also tried to emphasize that this actually, if you really think about it, is your mission statement as well. This is why we are here, to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. So where does the vision come in? The mission is the purpose, but the vision gives us a roadmap of how to achieve that purpose. A vision makes the mission practical, okay? We talk about glorifying God. Some of us may say, wonderful, Pastor James. That sounds fantastic and holy and righteous. How do I do that? And that's what we're talking about today. There's four ways to do it. Today we're talking about growth. Again, general topic. What does glorifying God through personal growth look like? That's the question we're going to be answering today. And my prayer is that I'm able to share with you not only, what the Bible says, but also how this will apply here at St. John. In the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, we have King Solomon, son of King David. King Solomon was the wisest king that has lived on this earth, the wisest king recorded in this Bible. And he is writing a book of Proverbs. Now, we know Proverbs as kind of like sayings. You know, there's truths in these statements. Here's a little Bible reading tip for those of us that don't know what to read in the Bible. I still do this today, ever since it was introduced to me by my parents. Read the day of Proverbs. So today is the 19th. There is a 19th chapter of Proverbs. Read it. Tomorrow is the 20th. So read the, y'all are smart. Read the 20th chapter of Proverbs tomorrow. This is a daily practice that I try to do. And what you will find out is that you will still learn. You will still learn years later, as I am doing now. In the book of Proverbs, first chapter, first verse, it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning wisdom and discipline, for learning insightful sayings." These are what the Proverbs are for. Verse 3, "For receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity." Again, what else are Proverbs for? "For teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man." Yes, young people, the Proverbs are for you. Verse 5, "Let a wise person listen and increase learning." Let a wise person listen and increase learning. So that means if we wise up in here, we gotta keep learning. Some of us missed that part. "And let a discerning person obtain guidance." You already can discern, but here's how you discern even better. Verse 6, "For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles." So the general point of this, the point I'm trying to make here, and the point that Solomon is trying to make, is that growth involves expanding your thinking. Okay? If you want to be wise, you have to expand your thinking. If you want to grow, you have to become wise. You have to expand your thinking. Your thinking literally has to grow. Why? Because, as you will find out in the rest of Proverbs, and as you already know now, life is complex. But wisdom trains you to figure it out. That's Why do we need knowledge and discretion? Why do we need shrewdness? Why do we need to learn further Proverbs and receive more instruction? It's because life is crazy, y'all. Life is interesting. And we can't just be some basic Christians trying to get through life. We got to grow. And if you don't grow, if you just stay in the same mindset that you were 20, 30, 40 years ago, you're going to get ran over. Hello? So then we move on to Proverbs 1, the seventh verse. How do you get started learning all of this? How do you get started with wisdom? Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning, the start. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Talking about growth, right? Some of us are already triggered. Because it started saying the fear of the Lord, and some of y'all are like, I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of nothing. Well, can I tell you something? What you just revealed to me is that you are afraid of being afraid. You fear fear itself, which actually suggests that that fear emotion runs you because you can't acknowledge the name fear. So actually, a lot of your decisions may be made by an emotion you will not name because you want to believe that you don't feel it. Hello? Yeah, it got real quiet. But how does this work? Because, you know, we see this word fear. So are we supposed to be afraid of God? We're supposed to be scared of God? You know, I'm scared of a bus if I'm in the middle of a street and the bus is gonna hit me. I'm scared of that, you know. But I thought God wanted us to approach him. I thought that's the whole part about Jesus, right? I thought he wanted to bring us closer to him. What's this thing about the Holy Spirit living in us? Why would he put his spirit in us if we're supposed to be scared of him? And so when it comes to this word fear, what I want you to process it a certain way. Godly fear. There is a godly fear. There is a right fear, a righteous fear. Godly fear, you can think of it as respect. Okay? Follow me. Respect. What actually is respect? Respect is when you recognize boundaries and you don't cross them. Let me say that again. Respect is when you don't cross boundaries. Some of y'all need to hear that in your life right now because a whole lot of folks don't respect you. And you can tell because they always cross your boundaries. Okay, move on, Pastor. Godly growth starts when we respect the Lord's boundaries. God has given us his word, and he, the creator of life, the creator of this world, the one who knows all, he is telling us, hey, there are some boundaries you need to be aware of. There are some things that I am trying to tell you for your own good. Because if you cross those boundaries, if you cross these things that I set up for your own good, life is going to suck for you. Respect the boundaries that God has set up, because that's how you grow. If you don't respect the boundaries, you are not going to grow, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you respect somebody, you actually are afraid of crossing them. We love husbands, love our wives. You should actually be afraid of crossing their boundaries with another man or another woman. It should actually put some fear in you. And the problem is, a lot of us don't have that fear. We should listen to the Lord when he says a soft answer turns away wrath. We should be afraid of crossing him and starting to respond to people and start popping off at the mouth. Because if we violate the Lord's command, now we've left wisdom. And then whatever happens, happens. Matter of fact, let's go to verse 20. It says, wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. This is wisdom being personified. Listen to the verbs. Calls out in the street. Makes her voice heard in the public squares. Cries out above the commotion. Speaks at the entrance of the city gates. If microphones existed back then, Solomon probably would have said, wisdom speaks into the microphone. Why? Wisdom is everywhere and is loud. Talking about growth. There are plenty of opportunities to grow. We just need to open our eyes and our ears. That's actually what the Bible teaches us. You know, it talks about observe the ant. Hello? Wisdom is everywhere. We don't have to pay $60,000 a year to go to the best institutions to find wisdom. We can look around. Well, hopefully you get it every Sunday for free. And Wednesday night Bible study. But what happens is when you look through these, especially when you start reading Proverbs every day of the month, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can read a chapter every day a month. When you start doing these things, God starts opening your eyes. There are people who are not Christians that just by looking at their lives, you will gain wisdom. There are a whole lot of people that you can look at and learn, and God will tell you, that's what happens when you do such and such. There are successful people that you can learn from and say, look at what made them successful. It's everywhere. Wisdom is everywhere. And it's loud. But we've just got to open our hearts and open our eyes and open our minds and open our ears and listen to what God is trying to say. Matter of fact, what is wisdom actually saying? Verse 22, how long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? Verse 23, if you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. But, verse 24, since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I, wisdom talking, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Y'all ever seen people do that? Like when somebody does something so stupid and just messes their life up and they were told over and over, don't do it. But they did it and their life got messed up. Y'all ever notice how some people will just like laugh like, I told her, should have left that boy alone. Should have left that girl alone. That's what this is doing to you when you don't listen. I don't like this sermon, Pastor. Move on. I'll laugh at you. I'm going to taunt you. Verse 27, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you. Some of us know people like that. Verse 28, then they will call me, but I won't answer. They will search for me, but won't find me. Y'all know people like that? They trying to figure out what to do. They in a big old mess. A big old mess. And trying to figure out the answers. But when you bring up Jesus, they don't want to hear it. They'll call me, but I ain't going to answer. They'll search for me, but they won't find me. Why? Because God is mean? Because God loves this? No, verse 29. Because they hated knowledge, didn't choose to fear the Lord. I ain't afraid of nothing. Verse 30, were not interested in my counsel and rejected all my correction. Verse 31, they will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted. That means filled up. With their own schemes. Verse 32, for the apostasy of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. The point is real simple, y'all. If you listen to the Lord's wisdom, good. If you reject the Lord's wisdom, bad. Let me say it one more time, just in case people missed it. If you listen to what the Lord tells you, good. If you reject the Lord's wisdom, bad. It's real simple, y'all. It's real simple. So what does glorifying God through personal growth look like? One of the ways, one of out of two, is using godly wisdom. You glorify God when you listen to what is said in here and you do it. Ta-da! Y'all didn't have to go to university for that. That's it. Do what he says. You'll glorify him. I'm not promising you a life full of trouble, but he will be with you in the trouble, and you will make it out. You decide that there's some things I ain't going to listen to the Lord because, I just got to control this me part of me, and you know, I ain't afraid of nothing. All right. Mess your own life up, and we'll just look and just watch you fail and just shake our heads. But it's more than just using godly wisdom. See, it's more than just knowing how to move around. It's more than just knowing how to talk to people. If you come with me to the book of Colossians, this is where Paul talks, is going on and bragging about Jesus. And the way the Apostle Paul starts to talk about Jesus is like Jesus is some big stuff. Like he is a big guy. Listen to what he actually says when he's talking about Jesus. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, which that means preeminent, the firstborn, the preeminent over all creation. Verse 16, for everything was created by him in heaven, on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. What? Verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. If we jump forward to the second chapter, Colossians, the second chapter, verse 3, it says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If I read this correctly, what Paul is saying is that the ultimate meaning and purpose for everything, and I mean everything, is found in Christ. This, to me, is one of the boldest claims in the Bible. Because now we're putting Jesus way up there. You know, Jesus, it's more than just salvation from our sins now. I mean, the way Paul is talking about it, the way the language that he's using, he putting Jesus like he's actually the answer to everything. Like he actually, like everything's actually here to ultimately glorify him. I mean, the way that he's talking about it, like this whole life, everything that we know of, everything that we're doing should ultimately lead to glorifying Jesus Christ. This is big talk. This is real big talk. Colossians 2nd chapter, verse 6, it says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. So this is not, we don't learn about Jesus because it's Sunday and we're supposed to just know Jesus. But we're actually supposed to walk, like, you know, live this life in Jesus. Continue to walk in him. Verse 7, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Some of us already missed that part because God just told us that it's actually better to be overflowing with gratitude instead of overflowing with attitude. But we missed that. Keep moving. Verse 8, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy. That word philosophy literally means love of wisdom. No one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ. Make sure people don't think you so, make sure people don't have you so woke that you can't listen to God. Make sure people ain't got you so educated, you got people so figured out, your emotional intelligence is so high that you don't need the Lord. Verse 9. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Reverend Burke, that could be a whole Bible study right there. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Ooh, that's a lot. Verse 10, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. Let me say it another way. Wisdom is more than learning about Christ. Living like Christ. Let me say it again. Wisdom is more than learning about Christ. It's living like Christ. Let me say it another way. Wisdom is more than just coming to church and hearing some stories about Jesus. It's living like Jesus. Let me say it another way. Wisdom is more than just getting some quotables that I can post on Instagram or on TikTok, because yeah, TikTok got apparently brought back today. It's more than just that. It's living like it. It's not just looking Christian. It's not just appearing Christian. It's not just telling yourself that you're Christian because you came to church a couple times a month, but it's actually living it when you leave this building. Or if you're online, when you turn this off. It's living like Christ. The point of knowing Christ is to glorify God in how we act and think. This is growth. What does glorifying God through personal growth look like? It looks like being in Christ. See, when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know the facts. We understand the facts. We know that Jesus was born through the Virgin Mary. We know that he lived for 33 years. We know that he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. He could tell storms to stop and they stopped. He could make food out of literally nothing. We know he could do these things. We know that he taught people to love each other, to love their enemies, to love their neighbors. We know that he taught these things. We know that Jesus went on the cross and died for our sins, sins that we were responsible for, sins that we committed. We know this. We know that Jesus was buried. And on the third day, I say it every Sunday, Jesus got up from the grave. We know that. We know that. But we grow when we apply Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection to our lives. And this is the problem with some of us Christians right now, is that we come and we hear the story, and that's where it stays. It's just a story. It's just a something that I gotta remember. It's just something that they talk about every Sunday and we're supposed to get happy about. But when you apply it to your life, that is where growth comes. That is where growth comes. And so if I could explain what we're doing at this with St. John, this is why we need to get our gets. Okay, gets are gifts, experiences, talents, and temperaments. We need to know what our gifts are. I'm talking to St. John right now. We're talking about what are we actually doing, right? We need to know our gifts. We need to understand, you know, through spiritual formation, how God is shaping our experiences. We need to understand the talents that we have and how we can use that to the glory of God. And then also our temperaments. You know, I mean, simple things like, I'm an introvert. It means I recharge by myself. So I finally realize when I'm around a lot of people all day, I start to get a little irritable. Why? Because that's just how I recharge. And so I know that because when I'm around people and I start to get all fussy, I can actually name what's going on in me, and then I'm able to have better control of it. But if I don't know it and I don't know myself, I don't know my gifts or experiences or talents or temperaments, then I'm just mad, I'm just upset, and I don't even know why, and you don't even know why, and you frustrated because you ask me and I don't know why, and I'm frustrated because you even asking. Y'all see how that goes? This is stuff that can change your life. This can actually change how you relate to people, because it's really hard to talk to other people about Christ when they don't even like you. Hello? This gospel applies. This life, death, burial, and resurrection has actual benefits in my life, tangible benefits. And it has benefits in your life. Now, I'm not just talking about how we can, you know, deal with church and what to say. I'm talking about how Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection applies to your job. How does it apply to your family relationships? How does it apply to your romantic relationships? How does it apply to your neighbors? How does it apply to how you view the future? How does it apply to just knowing yourself? There is an actual application. And what I'm realizing is that because we as a whole need to learn this and whatnot. Look, this is why we have Bible studies, okay? We have Sunday school, 9:30 to 10:30 every Sunday, okay? Nobody at St. John should be asking when it is. It's literally been the same for however many years, decades, okay? It's always 9:30 to 10:30 every single Sunday, ages 2 and up. It's for everybody, okay? Let's stop asking that question. We all know what time it is, okay? It's on the website. It's in the program. It's same time. Bible study, we talk about it every week. We know when it is. There's announcements. It's always known, right? But we do need to expand our Bible studies. When I say expand, I mean add more. And this is one of the things at St. John that we want to do. Is to add more Bible studies. Bible studies that will reach a certain audience. We want to have more Bible studies that reach Christians that are new to this. They don't know this. They like Jesus, you know, they like what they hear about him, but I mean, they don't know where Leviticus is. I mean, Moses and David could be brothers for all they know. Do you understand what I'm saying? There needs to be something for them. And yes, we have Sunday school there, but there needs to be a Bible studies to help people with knowing themselves and maybe their their temperaments and how they're and how things are going on with them. Why do they get angry all the time? Why are they sad all the time? There should be Bible studies directed at that. And St. John, one of our superpowers is teaching. That's one of our superpowers as a church. Churches are all good at something. We have really good teaching. I mean, if you really think about it, we're really good at teaching. And this is not me doing this. I'm saying when I came into pastoring, that was already a superpower of St. John. So if some of us have been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, we know this Bible backwards and forwards as much as possible. And then we have people that come in and join and they don't know nothing about the Bible. Gee, I wonder why God would bring people who don't know about the Bible into a church where people know everything about the Bible. Huh, I wonder why. I wonder why God would place us in a community that may not know the word. And we know the word. I'm still trying to figure that out. We need to expand Bible studies. So if there's some of us that are looking for a plan to grow, we need to make sure you have every opportunity to grow. Whether you are 80 or you are 8, you should be able to grow at St. John. You should be able to improve your personal life. Not just memorize new Bible stories, that's good too. Not just know the right things to say in church, which is great too. But I'm talking about your relationships improve. I'm talking about maybe how you perform at your job improves. How you manage your finances. Did y'all read this? It actually tells you how to get rich. It actually does. But and it also tells you how to save and how to invest. It's in here. And people need to know that. There's practical benefits. Jesus is not just so we can get to heaven. Jesus is so we can have that everlasting life here. Close the sermon, Pastor. Growth is having Christ as our source of wisdom. And if there's nothing else I can say today, if you could take one thing away today, is that, look, when you live in Christ, you're living life. Jesus said, I came to have that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Some versions say to the fullest. The best way to live this life is by the way the Creator intended. He designed life. He designed you. He knows you, and you need to know Him, and you need to know yourself. And when you do that, your life will change dramatically. People will not recognize you. How in the world, those of you that remember me, how in the world did I just figure out that I can come and preach in front of y'all? If you knew me for any length of time, you would know I wasn't trying to be in front of nobody's church saying nothing. How in the world, at my job, and I think I've shared this story before, I'm closing. I told people that, you know, before, you know, I used to be real introverted. I used to be real quiet and whatnot. They literally don't believe me. They don't believe me. They think I'm lying. Even after I reiterated over and over, they think I'm lying. And I tell them, this is what the Lord did to me. They don't even recognize that. There are people who grew up with me that still don't recognize how I've changed. Hello? Some of y'all can say the same thing too. I want us to grow. I want us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want your lives to improve. I want you to see a practical benefit of being here at St. John, learning about this Bible, learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There should be real growth. And you will understand the statement, when you live in Christ, that's when you're really living life.